Welcome to Pleasant Ridge Today, the official podcast of Pleasant Ridge Waldorf School in Viroqua, Wisconsin. I'm Robin Kotke.
I'm David Levin.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Robin.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty, pretty good.
Pretty, pretty.
Do you ever watch that show?
Yes.
Okay. Good reference.
Pretty, pretty,
pretty, pretty good.
Yes. Yeah, things are pretty good. You know, I'm still kind of riding the glow of Grandparents and Special Friends Day.
That was so great.
It was last weekend, and we had an amazing turnout. And of course, that was thanks to this year's format, which was virtual, mm-hmm. much like our 40th anniversary. And, you know, Grandparents and Special Friends Day is, I think, one of the very favorite events of the whole school year, definitely one of the most anticipated fall events, and generally happens in person with a morning assembly and a reception with an alumni speaker and tours of the classroom and a chance for grandparents and loved ones to visit the classrooms and experience lessons, main lesson, some of the subject classes. It's such a beautiful window into the unique culture of Waldorf education and our school specifically. Mm-hmm. And many grandparents return year after year. But in most years, we are limited to the number of folks we can accommodate due to space.
Sure.
And then, of course, some of the other limitations are things like geography for folks who live far away. So this time, we met online. We decided to do it later in the evening on Friday so that students and parents could join too. And we've all been really missing our usual assemblies and ways to gather. But what was so beautiful about this is that parents were able to invite folks that have been hearing about this school forever and had never truly experienced it. And it's really hard to explain how Waldorf education works or about our particular school, because it is so different from most folks' lived experience of school. And so the best way, I think, to learn more about it is just to experience it firsthand. Mm-hmm. So many parents invited aunts and uncles and godparents, and we had a beautiful turnout, and so many, in fact, that we ended up going over the allotted number that our Zoom account could handle.
Oh.
Yeah, so the good news is that we did record it, and we are just putting the final bits together. There is just a little bit of editing that needs to happen, and then that will be made available for anybody who wants to see that again. That will be sent to all of the participants who registered and also be available to all parents in the school.
Nice.
Yeah, so we included, it was an hour and 15 minutes program, and we had alumni speaker John Gambrell, who now has returned to the area. He's a special ed teacher and has two daughters in the parent-child program, and that was really always so great to hear from alumni students and how this education continues to inform their lives and, you know, what they draw on and what they, you know, specifically remember.
Yeah.
And let's see, we also had, I think my favorite part, and probably everybody's favorite part, was heartfelt messages from a number of teachers who greeted the grandparents and loved ones and then talked about what they were about to show that their particular class was working on. So we had, from the first grade, Beth Krieger-Fritch showed some main lesson pages and just explained what they're working on with consonants. And second and third grade did a whole poem, a really involved poem about the fall, mm-hmm. where they're standing on their stumps in their outdoor classroom and, you know, with all of the movements that go along with the lively poem. It was very sweet, and a dance that they've been working on. Let's see, Carrie Trevoronis' class, fifth grade, did a number of things. They shared their Michaelmas pageant.
Oh, yeah.
That they performed. Let's see, what else was there?
I think there was counting, like by 12s. Is that them?
Oh, yes, it was. They were doing the beanbag multiplication game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also she showed them doing their bookbinding of their their books from the fourth grade last year and, you know, putting all of those pieces together. I remember that was one of the things that struck me most when I first learned about Waldorf education and visited the Chicago Waldorf School and could see that the children were creating their own books, which was such a novel idea. And they're so beautiful. So there's some photographs of them doing that. Let's see. And then sixth grade did a recorder ensemble that was really fun. David, you edited that those videos, and thank you for including some of those hilarious outtakes with the stands.
That was so good. Yeah.
The music stands blowing over in the wind, and it was so fun.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else was there. Let's see.
Seventh
there was
grade had the chemistry, the fire.
That was
exciting. Mm-hmm. Nice greeting from Mr. Schmidt.
Sure.
And eighth grade performed a song or two, seems to me.
Yeah. Oh, and the strings piece was particularly lovely too. And they did. They sung "Here Comes the Sun."
Yeah.
Yeah. So all together, it was just almost like a virtual assembly, and that was really fun. And then to end the evening, we had this beautiful slideshow of pictures over the past couple of years, where a number of grandparents and special friends could see images of their loved ones, you know, at work, at school, or at festivals, or, you know, the kind of the building of the outdoor classrooms too. So anyway, if you haven't had a chance to look at it, please do. It was really sweet and kind of gave rise to some ideas about maybe doing some more virtual assemblies, you know, just for our particular school community throughout the year, because I think we're all realizing how much we really miss seeing what's going on in different classes. And I think the children are really missing that too.
Yeah.
Yep.
That'd be great. So, that was a great idea. More videos to come. So how soon do you think this will be up? Sometime this week?
Well, I have the final, just a couple of things to get over to you, David, for some specific edits but they're very brief. There are maybe like five different things. So yes, I think that should be available definitely this coming week.
Nice.
For sure. Yeah. So be on the lookout for that.
Speaking of this week, I should have known this. I know it. This is a good example of those things that dad should know that he didn't pick up on. But only a two-day school week this week for our kids. Francis was well aware of that. Margaret was well aware of it. I was surprised when I read the lunchbox the other day. I was like, oh.
That's so funny, because I just had a conversation with Stephen about it this morning, and he too was surprised.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you.
And actually, Stephen, who would win? I guess you win or Stephen wins. You at least read the Lunchbox Express. You know, but I work for the school, so Stephen just trusts me to tell him and
exactly.
You know, or write it on our personal calendar. So I'm culpable as well.
And the kids have had some indoor time. Francis has been very happy about that.
Oh, can I tell you? So it was Thursday, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Thunderstorm day. So the skies just opened up in the last hour of school, and with booming thunder and lightning. And so you had all of these various groups of, you know, children squealing and, you know, coming into the school and going into their classrooms. And just to have that kind of life in this actual school was really something. And all of the children were seeing their indoor classrooms for the first time.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Yeah.
So I took a stroll through the hallways and just listened in as they settled into their desks and were working on handwork or, various projects. So that was really nice.
Yeah.
Shall we take a look at this coming week? Speaking of a two-day week,
yeah,
for a two-day week, there sure is a lot.
two days for the kids, anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So, let's see. The day today, we're recording this on the 24th. 27th will be Tuesday. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, October 27th, fifth grade parent meeting at 6 p.m. via Zoom. Next day, 28th, subject teacher parent teacher conferences, also via Zoom. That day, Wednesday, Thursday, parent-teacher conferences, no school. Friday is the 30th. I hope I'm following along okay. Faculty in service, also no school. Oh my gosh, it's that soon. Saturday is Halloween, crazy. Mm-hmm. The Enchanted Forest is canceled this year, but there is something else in its place, which we're going to talk about in a couple minutes, The Enchanted Stories will be available that day at 3. I don't know much about that, so I'm looking forward to our talking about it.
Oh, sure. Well, I picked up our tickets. Well, I bought our tickets last week, and I will pick up our mystery bags on Monday.
I can't believe Halloween is that soon.
I know. Are you going to dress up?
Oof. We discussed that we might and that we should. Last year was the first time we had you and Rob, you and Stephen, I mean, we always love your guys' costumes. You're always like, oh, we got to do that. And last year we finally did dress up as a couple and it was really fun.
Tell me again what you did.
I was the Raven and she was Edgar Allan Poe.
That's right. Oh, that was really nice. I remember now.
Oh, and Mark and Jordan are always good about doing that as a couple too. But on a week's notice, I don't know. I'll say yes, we're going to try and pull it off. Hopefully we'll come up with something.
I'm going to share with you the easiest Halloween costume that if ever, you know, it just sneaks up on you, you know, or something like that, and you just don't know what to do. My friend Donna gave me this idea. You basically just take some masking tape or duct tape and fashion the letter P on a t-shirt, and then just put some eye makeup around one eye, like a, you know, like purple and black and blue, and you can be a black-eyed pea.
A black-eyed pea.
Isn't that so clever?
It's pretty good.
And pretty easy.
Yeah.
To cobble together. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I'll file that one away.
Sure. Okay.
So do we want to talk about the task force?
We should. You know, the task force, the returning to school task force continues to meet each week and review metrics and all of those good things, and makes recommendations to the board and faculty, and regarding, you know, how we can continue to safely meet. And no big news. Of course, this coming 2 days that we'll be in school will continue to be half days. And then when we come back to school on November 2nd, it's looking like where metrics stand now, we would be able to be in school full time. That is pending confirmation, however, and we will keep you apprised as soon as we know. But the good news is that the case rate has plateaued and is starting to decline, and the other metrics are holding steady. So one of the things that we'll be doing at the faculty in service this Friday is finalizing some winter scenarios and plans for indoor learning, because of course it's come to a point where it's getting pretty cold and hard to stay outside for full days. And so we were just talking about how to incorporate some more indoor time into the plan, and ensuring that that there's not congestion in the hallways, or, you know, kind of taking a look at the schedule to ensure that folks are staying within their pods or cohorts. So if you want to know more about some of the safety measures in place, certainly take a look at our most recent Lunchbox Express, the school newsletter, to see what's happening there. And if ever there are any questions, feel free to contact anyone on the task force, or you can contact us all at once by emailing COVID-19@pleasantridgewaldorf.org.
Yeah, there's a really great list here in the Lunchbox of all the specific things they're doing to make sure the indoor space and procedures and all that is safe. It's good to read. I didn't really want to read it out loud, but sure. I do encourage you to go look at the Lunchbox and read through that. It's encouraging. It's impressive work.
Yes. You know, it is good to look at, because you realize, oh my gosh, really no stone is unturned. They're looking at, you know, all of the, just again, every aspect of our day has had to be considered, and in some cases reimagined. So, so big shout out to that group.
Yeah.
And
on we go.
On we go.
Okay. So here comes the Enchanted Stories. Tell us about this.
Oh, this is exciting. So each fall, all of us look forward to the Enchanted Forest. Of course, we've been doing that so long that our youngest doesn't remember a time before that. And so that's a Halloween tradition where we go and are led through the forest by all kinds of different characters from different stories and fairy tales. And this time around, just in the interest of safety and access by all. This year, the eighth grade class has reimagined the Enchanted Forest and has put together Enchanted Stories. These are original tales that are spooky yet appropriate for audiences of all ages. You can purchase this, and it's like an audiobook, if you will. It's an MP3. And each audiobook order for $5, this is a bargain, comes with a mystery gift bag. And additional gift bags can be added to your order for only $2 each when you check out online. So if you want to find where to purchase this, just check out the Lunchbox Express. There's a link, or you can go directly to our PleasantRidgeWaldorf.org website, and there is a place where you can read all about the four different enchanted tales that will be available beginning at 3 p.m. on Halloween.
So you order them now, but you pick everything up on Halloween day.
Well, that's not entirely true. Oh. So you can order them now, and then there is a sign-up genius link that you will be sent to sign up for a time slot whereby you can come by and pick up your mystery gift bag or bags. Okay, so I signed up last week and paid my $5 plus $2 for gift bags. I got one for each of our girls and also for myself. I love a good mystery. I can't wait to see what's in there. my understanding is that it's going to be things like, you know, when you go through the Enchanted Forest and you are given little treasures throughout the walk. And so my understanding is that there will be things in your mystery gift bag that you also take out, you know, at different parts of the story. Oh. So the stories are going to be released at around 3 p.m. on Halloween. But you do have to sign up in advance to purchase it. And I believe the link will be made available. And you will also be asked to sign up for a time beforehand to come pick up your mystery gift bags at the school. So Katie Fassbinder, who's one of the eighth grade parents who's been helping coordinate this, sent me a sign-up genius link after I purchased my purchased the stories and the gift bags. And then I was able to choose a time whereby I could come to the front steps of the school and pick up the mystery gift bags.
Nice.
I don't know why that just reminds me of Scooby-Doo when I think of, you know, mystery
the
bags.
Was there a bus called the Mystery Mobile or something like that?
The Mystery Machine.
Mystery Machine, like that. That's it.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's good.
And then I just imagine this mystery bag filled with Scooby snacks, which most of those kids would have no idea what I'm even talking about.
No.
Because anyway, and that's just
all us
fine.
Old kids do, though.
Yes.
It occurs to me, too, just to say or think that this is a huge event. I mean, I remember going to these things and always being just struck with how long that line was to get in. It seemed like hundreds of people coming to this thing. The point being, this was always a big fundraiser for the eighth grade, and the fact that they've lost the chance to do this live, potentially a pretty big hit for their trip coming up and all that. So please do support them with as much enthusiasm as you can muster.
Yes, please. And this has always been such a great outreach event, too, for the school. And just like the holiday fair, where, you know, we see participation by, you know, lots of folks in the broader community. So I know that there has been some real marketing efforts to get the word out that, you know, there's a stand in this year for the Enchanted Forest. And the nice thing is that once you have this link, this is yours to listen to over and over again.
Sure.
It's like in an audiobook format. Mm. So, again, the stories are appropriate for an audience of all ages. And this was taken up with so much gusto by that eighth grade class. Anyway, it should be really fun, and thanks for your support. Yeah.
Speaking of fundraising, putting the fun in fundraising.
Aha.
We are up again to potentially be in the Viroqua Food Co-op. What do they call that? Give Where You Live. That's been such a good deal. Not a good deal. Such a big deal for us, a big success for us in the past. So talk to us about that.
Okay. So calling all Viroqua Food Co-op members. If you're a member, you likely remember that each fall we have the ability to choose five of our favorite nonprofit organizations and vote for them to become a recipient of the Give Where You Live campaign in the subsequent year. Mm-hmm. So Viroqua Food Co-op takes the 12 nonprofit organizations that have received the most votes, and each is given a month where at the register, that particular nonprofit is highlighted, and folks have an option to round up at the register to the nearest dollar, the nearest $5 to benefit that particular organization. And so last year we were voted in, thanks to all of you. And in the month of March, $2,500 was raised for the school just by folks doing that. And then there is one Wednesday, I believe it's the first Wednesday of the month, 1% of their proceeds for that particular day also go to the school. Mm. So we encouraged folks to go out and do their big shopping then. And it's a great way to share with the community and spotlight different organizations doing great work in our community. And we are not always a shoo-in. There are just so many different groups in our area doing good work. So when you choose your five, please consider choosing Pleasant Ridge as well. That goes a long way. And again, it's not just the funds that we receive. It's also just the awareness to the school, and also the school's commitment to working with every family to ensure that this is an accessible education through our generous tuition adjustment program.
Yeah.
So here's how to vote. This time around, I believe that all voting is taking place online. So between now and November 9, and if you're anything like me, now is always better, because if I don't do it when I'm thinking about it, you know, it just is so much less likely to happen. Mm-hmm. You can go to the Viroqua Food Co-op's page. You only need your member number. If you are a family member, you get two votes, and you just put in your number, and there are really simple, user-friendly directions right there. That will let you know how to do it. If you have any trouble, let me know. I'm happy to walk you through it. But again, let's not be complacent with voting all throughout November, not just at the Viroqua Food Co-op, but, you know.
It's a season for voting and lack of complacency.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, excellent. So yeah, Viroqua Food Co-op, just go to the site, log in, enter your member number, vote for Pleasant Ridge.
Thanks so much.
Okay, this is a reminder again. Please return handwork tools. If you have any handwork tools that were sent home last spring, please bring those back. If you have any questions, contact Miss Jerry directly. There's a link here in the lunchbox. Grade 3, they're looking for crochet hooks and weaving needles. Grade 5, they're looking for wooden knitting needles. Thank you for bringing those in. And save the date for the holiday fair. Oh my goodness, talk about reimagined. I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, we are too. So I'll be honest, we were sitting around and thinking, how on earth could we bring the holiday fair? Do we? Don't we? Again, one of those things. And it's like, well, how could we not? How could we not? Yeah. It's holiday fair. It's holiday fair time. And so we are moving forward. Save the date, Saturday, December 5th, 2020. The magic and joy of the holiday fair will be upon us soon. This all-school endeavor is made possible by each family's participation. But we know that this is truly a gift to our children and our community, and definitely to ourselves. It will look different, but we are sure that it will still capture the essence of this joyful tradition. So I can give you a little bit of a heads up of what this will entail. Ooh. This year, it will be only a one-day event, and that is Saturday, December 5th.
Okay.
And it will be a family event. There will be a meal available to enjoy and a program that would take place via Zoom, which sounds really odd.
Oh,
but yeah. In reality, if you've had the chance to attend any of, you know, either the 40th anniversary or Grandparents' Day, they were really interactive and still really beautiful.
Yeah.
So we know that we are planning a tree lighting. We are planning some music and good cheer and an opportunity to sing and light candles all together and just usher in this season as we always do together as a community.
Yeah, we'll still have, as far as I understand, we'll still have some form of silent auction and the vendors, correct?
Yeah. Correct.
It's going to be really something.
It is.
And it sounds like it's a long ways away, but it's not that far.
I think it's maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And so please reach out to Margaret Linares or Jordan Brudos or Robin Kotke if you are interested in being part of the planning and production of this year's holiday fair. It takes a village.
Oh boy. And we got a good one. We got a good village here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be it, Robin.
I think that is it for this week.
Excellent. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your partial week. You don't get
you
a
too?
Partial week. Just your kids, right? Our kids.
Yeah, I think this time I'm doing some work over the weekend so that I'll be able to take a little bit of time off with them because otherwise it would just be a madhouse.
Oh, sure.
So, and then we'll get ready for Halloween. You know, we're not really doing anything, but we're still going to dress up and we're trying to figure out ways to share our costumes with friends. So that's that's a conversation that's happening in the fifth grade, at least, you know, how are we going to show off our costumes to one another? Cause that's half the fun right there.
Totally.
So, anyway.
And then of course there's that 5-pound bag of candy you end up with at the end of the night.
Oh.
Free candy.
Right. Yeah. We're still really trying to figure out what we're going to do. I'm sure it will involve maybe something spooktacular, like, my girls don't know the Monster Mash song. They got kind of upset with me because we went to get some donuts one day and I started singing and kind of doing the Monster Mash dance and they were not pleased.
I imagine. That's an image. You know, it just occurred to me. I was picturing our kids, the ritual, of course, of receiving the candy. Mm-hmm. But then the big one is you come home and you dump it out on the floor and you sort it and you count it, right?
Yes. Yep. And
so
trade it.
Somebody really should, because we all spend money to buy candy to give it away, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we only buy a couple, three different things.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than that, somebody needs to sell like, you know, 5-pound packs of just completely random mixed all kinds of stuff. You can just give to your own kids. It doesn't cost you any more. And they still get that experience of getting and sorting and all that stuff.
Almost like a mystery gift bag.
Mystery.
What will be?
Yeah. Mystery, except it's all candy.
Right.
And two pencils.
Yes. Right. And an occasional popcorn ball. So maybe we'll learn the Monster Mash. And I'm really excited to see what different families are coming up with for how they will celebrate this year. Okay.
All right. Well, have a great week. 2 weeks, I guess.
You too.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.